What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. That's the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Evelyn.
All right, so a quick fake what you need to know before I do the real one. Sedano's Miami Heat are beating the Boston Celtics right now.
Yeah.
85-79 with about 11 minutes left in the fourth.
I know. I'm watching it right now.
What's happening, George?
I got to say, I'm pretty surprised.
Yeah,
no Jimmy Butler on the road in Boston,
right.
And you got this kind of a lead going into the fourth quarter?
That's what happens when you have the best coach in the sport.
Taken from, what do they say that? From God's lips to my ears or something like that?
From your lips to God's ears?
Yes. Something like that. That's what LeBron said. Spo is just such a great coach. And we'll get into that in a minute. But first, for 12 days, L.A. may be the funniest place in the entire world as more than 300 comedians jump on various stages across the city and perform during the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. It's one of the biggest festivals ever put together celebrating comedy. The festival takes place from May 1st through the 12th at more than 35 different venues across the city. So there's going to be performers ranging from comedy legends like Jerry Seinfeld, Kevin Hart, Wanda Sykes, David Letterman, Chelsea Handler, to a lot of up-and-coming stand-up comedians as well. I know my favorite, Tom Segura, is going to be performing, and I can't wait because I love him. He's amazing. And they're going to be performing about 500 shows over those 12 days at places like the Hollywood Bowl, the Greek, the Dolby, the Kia Forum, all kinds of places. The Improv, the Comedy Store. It's going to be nuts. So.
Good.
I guess the best thing to do if you're interested in comedy and you want to go to any of these shows or just find out when they are, where they are, et cetera, go to netflixisajokefest.com because that's where you can find out if the shows are if tickets left. A lot of them are sold out, I know. But yeah, I'm going to go to some of these shows. How about you guys?
Well, I definitely want to go. I would much rather go to the smaller club shows. I like stand-up comedy in clubs. I will go to a big venue. But I prefer stand-up comedy in small clubs. I'd much rather go to the Comedy Store than anywhere else. But I will say this. My guy, Maz Jobrani, is going to come in studio with
us. Okay, great.
And Maz is going to promote because he is also performing at a bunch of these venues. So Maz said, hey, why don't we wait until the Netflix comedy thing that's going on, and then I'll come in, and Maz will come in, and
Cap,
he's going to be great.
You know what, Cap? I actually found out I was doing, because, you know, I want to go to the Comedy Store once in a while, especially on Thursdays. That's the best night to go.
Mm-hmm.
Maz performs with one of my really good friends, Josh Potter.
Okay.
He used to be, we worked in Cleveland together. He was Kylie and Boom's board op at one point.
Okay.
And he's a stand-up comedian. He's toured with Tom Segura. He tours a lot with Annie Lederman. And I saw that he was performing with Maz in a recent show. So maybe they can come in together.
Yeah,
Josh
Maz
is very funny.
Maz is big time, dude. I mean, he really is. And I mean, he's got all kinds of Netflix specials, and I mean, he's at the highest level there is. I mean, he may not be Jerry Seinfeld, you know, but he's big time. So, Maz, we love you, buddy, and can't wait to get you in studio, man.
Yeah.
And my phone's going to ring in a matter of seconds because everybody in L.A. listens, and everybody's getting a hold of Maz and saying, hey, Sedano and Cap are talking about you right now, and he's going to go, I know, I'm listening.
By the way, my friend Josh, who performs with him, Josh Potter, he's a big, huge, like, diehard Buffalo fan. Sports fan, so like he's got a lot of sports stuff worked into his act, and he's very funny.
And just to give you an idea of when I say everybody's listening, George, I just received a text message from the one and only Jacob and Ronnie, and Jacob says that he's glad that me and Maz are now best friends, and he says, I'm coming in the day that Maz is coming in. So Jacob, you're always welcome. You know that.
Yeah, my guy Jacob. Who I'll be talking about later this hour, as you know. We talk about him all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he hooked you. You should thank, you should kiss the ground Jacob walks on. Because you met all these guys. Romeo on your radio, Maz Jobrani. All these guys because of Jacob.
That's right.
Jacob,
that's
Jacob, Tillman. Jacob. Call him at 844-24-JACOB.
Right. Right. Tillman. That's right.
Your
that's
boy
right.
T.T.
That's right. From
yeah,
the
T.T.
LAFC. That's right. These are all, like, now my best friends. But you got to understand something. The reason I met all of them is because Jacob and I are bros.
Right.
You know?
Jacob is the man.
Yep.
Is he not? Like, he's just amazing.
He is amazing.
And incredibly, impeccably dressed. I saw him here yesterday.
He is a finely
always
dressed
to the
man.
Nines.
Yeah. Weirdest thing is how famous he is, man.
He is famous.
Seriously.
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He is everywhere.
His picture is everywhere.
And he's with us, of course, so there's that.
Oh, that's right.
So, Cappy.
Yo.
So we were talking about the Lakers a moment ago. And you and I I feel like over the years, we've now had this conversation numerous times, right? Whether it was Frank Vogel a couple years ago. I remember a couple years ago, like the Heat, the Lakers played the Heat in Miami. Mm-hmm. And
LeBron, you know, was gushing all over Spoelstra.
Yeah, right. And then like a week later, he's like talking about Ty Lue and how, you know, when I play for T. Lue would do this, that, and the other, right? So that was when Vogel was here. Yeah. And then with Darvin, he's done that too. Like, he's made comments about Spo. He made comments most recently about T. Lue was the recent one, right? Remember the whole James Harden thing when they were rolling after December 1st to the All-Star break? They had that great stretch, the Clippers, even though they lost yesterday, right? But they had that great stretch from December 1st to the All-Star break where they were the best team in basketball, basically. And they asked LeBron, what do you make about the James Harden effect? He's like, the James Harden effect? He's like, that's the T. Lue effect. You know, I know because I played for him, blah, 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 right? And he never really praises the guys that he plays for very often. By the way, he didn't praise T. Lue and Spo all that much when he was playing for them either. Okay,
no, but what he does do by praising those guys is he knocks the guys who are his current coaches. I mean, that was his knock on Vogel. That's his knock on Darvin, is the compliment to somebody else, in my opinion.
Right, and you know, even did with Rondo, right? Like you mentioned, Rondo should be a coach. So I know that it was a point of contention one day on the show about listening to his podcast with J.J. Redick, but I listened to it. And I actually showed Lindsay, before we get into this audio, Lindsay, did I not show you the intricacies of the game today?
He did. He showed me the
slot cuts.
Slot cuts, yeah.
And I showed her how
and the 5X, right. The X5,
X5, X2,
X5.
Right.
What are we talking? BMWs here? What are we talking about?
Not a BMW. It's a position on the floor.
Oh, all right.
But I did. I showed Lindsay. Cappy, I would show you. DeAndre knew, because DeAndre knows ball, so I didn't have to explain anything.
What do you got
to
show me?
He showed me the intricacies of the game.
Dude, I know. Listen to me. I know sports, okay? Not just ball. Okay, not basketball, not X5s, not 5Xs, okay? I know athleticism.
Yeah.
I know the game.
Yeah.
I know ball.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Cappy, can you break down the slot cut?
Of course I can break down the slot cut.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So all right, speaking of the slot cut, we'll play that one first, okay? So it's the shorter one. And in this podcast, this podcast was done right after the first weekend of March Madness, okay? So, like, that last few days of March.
Okay.
And it was released, I think, April 2nd, okay?
Right. So, this is LeBron and
so this is
Redick.
About
is
3
right?
weeks ago or so, okay. 3.5 weeks ago, you
All
know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, this is towards the end of the season, right? And J.J. Redick is asking LeBron about his first year in Miami, and they lose to Dallas. And, like, what changed? Like, why were you guys so good the second year when you won the championship? And here's what LeBron said.
Obviously, my first year there, played great basketball, got all the way to the finals, losing the finals. Spo is the reason why we were a better team. And our team was more assembled properly. When we lost to Dallas, he went to Oregon and hung out with Chip Kelly and learned to spread offense. And tried to figure out if he could translate that to basketball. And don't know the super conversations that him and Chip had, but I know when he came back to us, he knew in order for us to reach our potential, one, I had to be 10 times better than I was in that previous June finals, but Chris Bosh had to go to the five. He had to start working on his corner three faithfully every day after practice, corner three, every day after practice.
The Bosh spacing, what did that sort of unlock? I'm curious, like, what were the actions?
The cutting.
Slot cut?
The slot cut. it unlocked so much for our offense. And it gave myself and D-Wade in transition. This is all, Spo is like, he's that damn good.
So he's giving Eric all the credit. Like, he literally said it. The reason we were as good as we were after that was because Eric Spoelstra went out of the box, unconventional, flew to Oregon, met with Chip Kelly, who was running the spread offense better than anyone at that time, and all of a sudden, it changed the game for us, right?
Yeah, but wait, I'll go one step further, because one thing that he said in there that I thought was really important was, when he came back from Oregon, he said to LeBron, you have to be 10 times effing better. Okay,
he did say that to him.
Guess what? Somebody was coaching LeBron back then. Somebody was actually able to say to LeBron, guess what? You were good. We made it to the finals. We didn't win. Guess what we need from you next year? You got to be 10 times better, Jack.
Right.
Do better, as you like to say.
Right.
That's right.
Right. That's right. So there was that. So I don't think, you know me, I feel like he's very, you know, I think he's very calculated about things he says. Mm-hmm. And I think the timing of that is interesting. Now, and that's just one time, okay? So that's one time. And it was, you know, like I said, about 3.5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But then in one of the more recent podcasts, they just had one drop yesterday. So the second to last podcast, the penultimate podcast was...
Penultimate.
That was about a week or so ago, okay? Penelvent. And they taped it probably like just before the playoffs started. So I'm guessing like right before the play-in, if I had to guess.
It was like right after the NCAA tournament, right?
Right, after the tournament. Right, after the tournament was over. So the week between the tournament and the start of the play-in, okay, they recorded this one. And JJ and him are talking about, they're talking about coaches, right? And you know that people always say, like, you know, there's the players who are regular season players and postseason players. Do you think that's the same with coaches? And they talk about preparation with coaches, and here's how that conversation again evolved. And again, juxtapose this to the conversation we just had yesterday, where Anthony Davis literally said at a press conference, there are moments when we don't know what we're doing on either side of the floor, okay?
Embarrassing.
Juxtapose it to that yesterday. Go ahead.
Like, I don't know, Bob Myers maybe didn't originate this, but I know that he said it at some point. There are 82-game players, and then there's 16-game players, right? Do you think that in some ways there are regular season, like good regular season coaches versus good playoff coaches? Like, how much does coaching matter in the NBA in the playoffs?
It matters a lot. Preparation. Prep. How much prep are you getting going into a series to when you get out there and you're kind of ready for, you know, everything that's going to be thrown at you. And obviously everybody makes adjustments, and then you got the great players that don't matter what type of fucking game plan you got on them. They're going to exploit it no matter what. But as much as you can be prepared going out for a series, and you know it changes. You know, that game one is kind of like the filler game, you know. You almost like tell your players, just go out and just fucking play. Like, just go out and play game one. Don't think too much, because if you
bring it down. We got to edit that. We have dumped it twice. I thought those were edited. So let's just do that in the next segment. Let's just, because it's now two curses that I was able to dump.
Glad we were able to reset it in between curses.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Let me just say something real quick, and then we'll hit the break, and we'll go into it. Listen, you think that J.J. Redick just came up with these questions and it was completely impromptu conversation?
No, I believe there's we have on our show, there is a prep meeting and a conversation of here's where I want to go.
Yeah, here's how I think it goes. LeBron writes the questions and J.J.
No,
asks them.
That is not how it goes.
That's exactly how it
goes. No, it's not how it goes. They have a conversation of, hey, here's what I'm thinking today.
Yeah.
And then it evolves into what evolves, similar LeBron to what we do every day. Right.
LeBron says, hey, here are the things that I really want to talk about, so set me up. And then LeBron sets himself up so that he can make his he can do exactly what you're talking about, which is, I'm going to talk about how great these other coaches are. I'm going to talk about preparation with these other coaches, because really what I'm doing is I'm taking my shot at my own coach.
Okay. Well, we'll have the full sound for you. So I feel like Laker fans, considering everything Anthony Davis said yesterday particularly, and we know that it's not like there's been a ringing endorsement by the players about their head coach, that I would love for you to hear that conversation that JJ and LeBron had. So we'll have that edited down for you with bleeping out the curse words. We'll have that for you on the other side. But first, Cappy, tell them about Prize Picks.
All right. I'm going to tell you this about Prize Picks. Can someone help me, please? I'm ice cold. I'm so ice cold on Prize Picks right now. I need your help. Do me a favor. Download the Prize Picks app right now. Use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y. They're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So you put in $100, they put in $100, you're playing with $200. And then what I want you to do is, when you start making your Prize Picks, and many of you guys are already doing this, shout out to Radio Michael. I love that you guys are using the share button and then putting it on Twitter and tagging me, because I need your help. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, George, I had Carl Anthony Towns to score more than 14.5 points, and that was on a discount. It was a Taco Tuesday discount. He didn't get there. He got the 12. I had Anthony Edwards to score more than 25.5 points. Not even close. He scored 15. I had James Harden to shoot more than 8 three-point attempts. Thankfully, he did. He got to 10. But I'm telling you right now, even Jokic the other night against the Lakers, I had him to score 28 points. He had 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists. And he still didn't get me the win because I had him at 28 points. Guys, I'm ice freaking cold. Go on to Prize Picks, download the app, use my code Cappy, make your plays, and then share your plays with me on Twitter. They're going to match your first deposit 100%, up to 100 bucks. If you haven't done it by now, do it right now. Download the Prize Picks app and use my code Cappy.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Oh, D, is this one yours today?
This is. This is Burna Boy.
Burna Boy.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is one of my favorite songs from Burna Boy. I actually saw him recently when I was thrifting, because he was out here for a Laker game, and I saw him thrifting, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Out here at the flea market out here, at Pasadena.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny you say that, man.
Was that the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
Today, my daughter and I we had lunch today. It's kind of a nice thing when she has an early day out of school. She and I go and have lunch. And we're sitting there today, and she takes a picture. And I go, what are you doing? She goes, don't look. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm taking a picture of that girl over there. I go, why? Who's she? Some famous TikTok girl. I'm like, you picked up some famous TikTok girl sitting here at lunch right now, and you're taking pictures of her? I don't know, man. Seems a little weird.
I mean, hey, man. They're famous to her.
You take pictures of complete strangers.
You do
and
that.
And post them on Instagram.
What do you mean?
Remember the one time the girl was wearing some crazy outfit and you posted it on Instagram and you were like, what do you think of this outfit?
Well, I mean, that was maybe one time. Yeah. By the way, Burning Boy, I don't know if
Burner you Boy.
No, Burner Boy.
Well, that's what I said.
You said Burning Boy.
You said Burning.
Yeah, not Burning. Burner Boy. You know, he was out at Burning Man.
No, he wasn't.
Doing a little performance in the wind out there, you know, and the dust was flying.
Yeah.
Wilding.
Like,
you tell him, Burna.
All right. Well, shout out to Burna Boy. Cappy, Lindsay, do we have the audio now?
Yes, that's my fault, because when I put it in, I listened to it at double speed, so I didn't catch the bleep word.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
I'm
all right. So anyway, you and I were talking about LeBron has this tendency to praise his former coaches, and sometimes it could feel like it's tactical, is what I would say, or maybe even somewhat calculated. So he tapes this podcast with J.J. Redick right before the postseason starts, or the play-in starts, and J.J. and him are talking about whether, you know, coaching matters basically in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are there guys who are good regular season coaches and not good playoff coaches, and it's vice versa, et cetera, et cetera. And they get into that, and they talk about preparation, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And remember, J.J. Redick played the majority of his career for Stan Van Gundy, okay, in Orlando, and then later in New Orleans at the end of his career, and then obviously LeBron has played for T. Lou, Spoelstra, Vogel, and Paul Silas, actually, first. And Mike Brown. I shouldn't forget Mike Brown. So those are the coaches he's played for. So here's the conversation they're having about coaching, particularly in the playoffs. Again, juxtaposed to the conversation we were having yesterday about Anthony Davis saying at the podium, there are times we literally don't know what we're doing on either side of the floor, okay? That is juxtaposed to that, okay? That conversation we were having yesterday. Go ahead.
Like, I don't know, Bob Myers maybe didn't originate this, but I know that he said it at some point. There are 82 game players, and then there's 16 game players, right? Do you think that in some ways there are regular season, like good regular season coaches versus good playoff coaches? Like, how much does coaching matter in the NBA in the playoffs?
It matters a lot. Preparation. Prep. How much prep are you getting going into a series to win you get out there and you're kind of ready for, you know, everything that's going to be thrown at you. And obviously everybody makes adjustments, and then you got the great players that don't matter what type of game plan you got on them. They're going to exploit it no matter what. But as much as you can be prepared going out for a series, and you know it changes. You know, that game one is kind of like the filler game, you know. You almost like tell your players, just go out and just play. Like, just go out and play game one. Don't think too much, because if you start thinking too much, now you can't even just like be, you can't even just be a player no more, because now you're just trying to think the game. But me personally, I want overload.
You want overload?
I want overload. I want all the information, everything, everybody, every individual, every pros and con. And I don't do that throughout the 82 game regular season. I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the time.
The league has changed a lot. I was fortunate. 5 of my first 6 years, I played for Stan. I also played for him my last year in New Orleans. When you talk about the preparation, it was interesting to me that he prepared for a regular season game the same way he prepared for a postseason game.
Yeah.
So we're in shoot around for an hour and a half. We got knee pads on. We're going live. I remember at the end of shoot arounds, he'd be like, all right, these guys haven't run this play in 5 games. This is an ATO, but they haven't run it in 5 games. I want to be prepared for it. Let's go through it. Oh, you guys didn't do it right. Let's go through it again.
That's
right?
The Riles tree.
100%.
That's the Riles tree. Spoh's the same way.
So when we got, but my point is, when we got to the playoffs, it didn't feel any different.
Right. Because you
when
was
we
already
were prepping
prepared.
For a playoff.
Yeah, for
game.
Sure. That's Spoh's the same way. That's the Riles tree. You know, you come from that Pat Riley tree. That's just, you prepare every day like it's your last, for sure.
So I don't think any of that is a coincidence that he doesn't say about his own coach.
Well, I mean, he's saying a lot about his own coach. Everything that he's saying about Eric Spoelstra and the preparation and give me more information and prepare the same in the regular season versus the postseason so that it's not new. I mean, everything that he's saying, what he's not saying, but he is saying is, we don't do that. We don't do that. And listen, I think Anthony Davis was so frustrated after that heartbreaking loss in Denver in game 2 that I think that Anthony Davis just kind of went to the podium and let it go.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing for stretches of the game on either end of the floor. That is, fire this coach. LeBron sitting there with J.J. Redick, that is saying, fire this coach. You know why? Because this coach doesn't know what he's doing. You know why he doesn't know what he's doing? Because he's only a second-year head coach. And by the way, the guys that come from the Riles tree, you know, those are the guys that really know what they're doing. I'm going to ask you this question, George. You always say that Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA, right?
Yes.
If Eric Spoelstra were the coach of this Laker team,
they would beat Denver.
They would beat Denver?
Yes. I believe he's that good a tactician and that good a in-game adjuster and game-to-game adjuster that they would beat the Denver Nuggets in a series. Yes.
He's
one of the few, him or Greg Popovich, and maybe Ty Lue, but definitely him and Greg Popovich, I think I give the Lakers a chance to beat the Denver Nuggets. Yes.
If let me just say this.
Now, not 100% for sure, but I give them an actual, real chance to win that series with either Greg Popovich or Eric Spoelstra. But that only goes to show you there's not that many of those guys, I think, that can do that. Maybe, okay. I would also probably include Ty Lue and Steve Kerr, but the list is very small.
Okay, but let me just say this. If the Lakers feel the same way you feel, and by the way, the Miami Heat are the 8th seed, they don't have Jimmy Butler, and they are 40 seconds away, and they have an 8-point lead from beating Boston in game 2 in Boston, okay? After getting just bombed in game 1. So maybe what you're saying is right, that Eric Spoelstra is that good of a coach that without Jimmy Butler, without his best player, people are heading for the doors right now in Boston. The Celtic fans know this game is toast. It's over. So maybe what you're saying is right, but if here's the key. If Jeannie Buss, and let's just assume Rob Pelinka, or maybe we should throw in Kurt Rambis's name. If those folks feel like you feel that the best coach could take this roster and beat that Denver Nuggets team, then moving on from Darvin Ham is an absolute no-brainer. The question is, who do you get? I mean, who is the coach that's out there and available that could take this roster and beat, or at least be competitive thus far, with the Denver Nuggets? My answer is, don't know. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about a guy like Jay Wright, the former Villanova coach who's been sitting out of coaching for a year? Is he that guy? Don't know. All I'm saying to you is that if the Lakers front office and ownership feels like you feel that a coach, a great tactician, could be the difference between the Lakers and the Nuggets, it's an easy decision to fire Darvin Ham. No brainer.
If you can get a better coach, I just don't know if there's a better coach out there.
Well, come on, man. He's a second-year head coach. Everybody's complained all year long about rotations and lineups and adjustments and timeouts and everything else. And he got very, very lucky that the warts of the team last year were buried, essentially, by making it to the Western Conference Finals. And so now, if you can't get past the first round, but forget about the round, it's the Denver Nuggets. If you get swept by Denver 2 years in a row and you keep the same head coach, how do you expect the results to be different? Especially if you think
that the roster's good enough. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I've never heard that before. That's interesting. That's a good phrase. Seriously, man, if you honestly think, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying generally speaking, if the Lakers feel like the best coach could help this particular roster beat that Denver Nuggets team that's beaten them 10 straight times, if they think that way, then firing Darvin Ham is an absolute no-brainer. And by the way, it's a terrible thing to have to say, but come on, man, these guys are making a lot of money, and this is pro sports, and it's a results-driven business. That's all it is. You know, it comes down to wins and losses, period. You know, Darvin Ham making a lot of money. So when you hear him go, oh, man, that's not cool, man, saying don't fire Darvin Ham. Hey, listen, he ain't working at a restaurant making a couple bucks an hour, okay, worrying about where his next meal's coming from. And by the way, he'll be picked up as an assistant coach in 30 seconds. So you don't have to cry about Darvin Ham. I'm saying to you that LeBron has ratted him out now, and Anthony Davis ratted him out at the press conference after the second game. This team doesn't play for him. This team doesn't want him to be their coach.
No, it's definitely become more painfully obvious, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Totally.
Because it's not just his two stars, I feel like. I feel like it's now trickled down to other guys.
Why? You know why? I'll tell you why. Because when your two stars in particular, whether it was one star, two stars, three stars, when your star players go into the locker room and they're like, oh, man, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Man, we're doing this. We're doing that. We should have called a timeout. This guy shouldn't have been on the floor. What are we doing? When they start questioning the coach, the stars, then everybody else on the team's like, yeah, man, this coach sucks, man. He don't know what he's doing. Now, on the other hand, if LeBron and AD were like, hey, guys, listen, guys, we got to put our faith in our coach. We believe in him. We trust in him. He knows what he's doing. He's preparing us. Then everybody else would fall in line.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Man, you don't want no smoke.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
The Leprechauns have lost. Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat, undermanned with no Jimmy Butler, have gone into Boston as a 14.5-point underdog and tied the series at one apiece.
I wanted to have you go in and do like a play-by-play at the end there, George, but it kept going on.
They
well, yeah, because I was on a roll.
111 to 101. That right there is why he's the best coach in the NBA.
I mean, it almost goes perfectly in line with the conversation we're literally having right now.
I mean, listen, you know, I, I used to say this years ago. I remember Key and LZ would fight me. And I remember Key called in one of Cappy's first days and actually was like, hey, man, I came to, you know, because he was doing the morning show at the time. He's like, you know, I want to give you your props. And I said, why? Because Eric Spoelstra is now the best coach in the NBA. This is when they were in the bubble. He's like, see, man, this is why I don't talk to you, man.
Because you're right.
Well, LZ, I could understand why LZ would get mad at you, because the thing about you is, and I understand this, and LZ understood it, and you don't, but, you know, you don't get ball culture.
I don't get ball culture.
See, I and LZ, we both understood, and still to this day understand, and will going into the future, we get ball culture. You, on the other hand, my friend, you don't get it. I'll try and teach you, man.
You can teach me, Cappy.
I mean, while you're teaching me the intricacies of the actual game, the X's and O's, I'll teach you culture.
All right. Sounds good. Let me tell you about culture. Let me tell you about intricacies. Let me tell you about winning, okay? Jacob, okay? My guy Jacob and Ronnie, we talked about a moment ago. Let me tell you something. Not all personal injury attorneys will treat you the same, okay? That's not the case. One primary example of that is if you're in an accident and hire an attorney, some major law firms may deem that your accident is, you know, quote unquote, too small and not worth their time. So they farm it out to a smaller, less experienced firm. Imagine if that's you. You think you're hiring one person, but you have someone else actually handling your case. That's another reason why if you're in an accident, you got to call Jacob right away. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Every case is equally as important to Jacob, and he won't hand off your case to someone else. Let's face it. Who do you want dealing with the insurance company? Jacob or potentially some, you know, attorney who's, you know, a few months out of law school? I mean, come on. Don't take the risk. You're injured in any type of accident. You call Jacob and get the medical care you need and you deserve, okay? And get the compensation that you deserve. So you get into that accident, regardless of what it is, call him at 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Guys, a lot of attorneys, they say they'll fight for you. Man, you call Jacob, he'll win for you. Call him at 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or visit him online at calljacob.com and call Jacob and tell him Sedano from 710 ESPN LA sent you. Hey, Christopher. All right. Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. Man, I'm starting to lose my voice. I think it has something to do with this drink that I've been drinking. Cappy, I got a question for you. So at my apartment, before I moved out, one day I walked outside and all the doors in the apartments in front of them, there were these drinks. It's like an energy drink with a little card of like some info on it where you can buy it, special code, whatever. And I was like, oh, cool. So I took it, you know, and I decided today that I was going to drink it. Would you do the same thing? If somebody left like an energy drink that you've never heard of, like outside your door or like a pack of them and just kind of trying to like do some guerrilla marketing, would you drink it?
Probably not.
Why?
Because I don't trust some random stuff that gets put somewhere, you know, like randomly.
Yeah. But even like if it were, you know, packaged and I assume that it, you know, just seemed like a regular can of whatever beverage it is. It wasn't open at all or, you know, I'm not really worried that somebody like spiked it or something. I just would be like, yo, wait a second. You came into the apartment building and you left cans on everybody's doorstep? I don't know. That seems a little aggressive.
Yeah, with like a little like marketing card, like, try this. And it was like the apartment building's name, like, use code blank, blank, blank. You know, because downtown here, they're high rises.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that live in them.
I applaud the guerrilla marketing. I just don't think I drink it.
So, to your point, I mentioned this to Chris earlier when he was still here, and he was like, so you just drank it? And I was like, yeah, I honestly didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, I just this new energy drink, and they just want people to try it. I didn't think anything of it, and now I feel weird AF.
Well, I'll give you an example. When I was visiting Cal Poly SLO a couple weeks ago, my daughter and I were walking through campus, and they had young, good-looking kids standing there as kind of what I would call like promotional models, if you will, and they were giving out cans of Celsius. Now, I know the brand Celsius. Right. We work with Celsius at 710, and I really like the product Celsius. So when I saw these young kids, they were like, oh, yeah, we got all these new flavors. Check it out. So I'm like, yeah, great. I'll take that. I'll try that. And so that's a brand I know. It's a brand that I trust. And somebody handed it to me. I saw them hand it to me.
So what if it was a different brand that you'd never heard of before?
Still, there's a person. They're on campus. I feel like they've been vetted. I feel like, you know, I might give it a try. But putting it in my apartment building, I don't like it. I don't like the concept.
I agree.
I didn't even think of it. And now I'm like weirded
Just drink
out.
A lot of water. You'll be fine.
Did you look at what's in it?
Yeah. It seems like a typical energy drink. But I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It says like Euphoria, Lion's Mane, and Cordyceps.
Oh, that's a mushroom drink. Okay, so that what you're drinking, Lion's Mane, for example, Okay, that is a mushroom, and I'll tell you what the lion's mane mushroom is for. They say it supports memory, focus, and nerve regeneration.
Right. It says focus on here, just like Pepe likes to say.
Yeah, focus.
Focus.
That's right. So lion's mane, that's a mushroom. That's a natural mushroom.
It says it's net, whatever. I didn't even think of it. Now I feel like an idiot. Like,
does it say anything on the can, like mushroom drink or like mushroom energy?
There's a picture of the mushroom where it says lion's mane and cordyceps.
Cordyceps?
How do you say it?
I don't know.
Cordyceps?
Oh, yeah. That mushroom, I'll tell you what that mushroom's for. That mushroom is to restore balance, increase energy and levels and stamina. Restore balance, increase energy levels and stamina. So you're getting the energy mushroom and you're getting the focus mushroom.
I feel like it also has taurine.
Focus.
Oh, taurine. Okay, well, that's another whole other.
I feel like, wasn't that something
that's like hardcore stuff right
wasn't
there?
Wasn't that like ruled out? Like, isn't that illegal or something?
Well, that's just my point. So somebody puts that on in your apartment.
Right. Now I feel like an idiot. I'm an idiot.
And by the way, I don't really know much about mushrooms, but the funny part of that is that I've got a friend of mine who owns a mushroom coffee. And I literally have a bag of the mushroom coffee sitting right here next to me on my desk. And when you mentioned the lion's mane, I'm like, oh, I know that. That's a mushroom. And then you said cordyceps. That's the next one right here in his coffee. So, I mean, that's...
Well, that's maybe they got half of it, right, at least?
The taurine part is weird, man.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that's like a thing that was like, oh, no, you shouldn't have that. Yeah. But anyway.
So, big deal is what I would say.
Okay, big deal.
Just drink a lot of water.
We'll do it again. All right, yeah. Got it. All right, one
more.
A new trend has emerged for young lovers and their pets. It's called a pre-pup. A pre-pup. So recent data from The Economist shows that many U.S. cities are home to more parents than actual parents, meaning dog owners, including both Riverside and San Diego here in California. But couples often don't take breaking up into consideration when they adopt a new pet together. And that can lead to legal battles costing sometimes thousands of dollars. Cap, I know that you kind of experienced something like this with Jack the Frenchie. So I want to ask you guys, do you think people getting prenups for their pets is a big deal or no deal? Cappy?
I'm going to say...
I mean, Cappy, I feel like this is part of... Like, you're like... You should have, like, a real, like, opinion on this.
Well, here's my opinion. When my wife and I got divorced, I was still paying for the pet insurance, the health insurance for the dog, you know? But she actually got the dog. And then I got the dog for a really long time. And then I was like, hey, you got to take the dog back. I'm up in L.A. all the time. I can't be watching this dog. Can't leave the dog by himself. And then she kind of took him back. And I'm like, I don't want him because he's your responsibility, but I'm still paying for him. Bottom line is, hey, that's her dog, not my dog.
So you did not want the dog?
No, I didn't want him. I didn't want him. And I love him and I miss him. Like, I mean, I do miss the dog. I mean, I really do. But I'm just not a good dog parent. So I don't want him.
Well, at least you recognize that.
Yeah, I don't want him sitting in my house all day by himself, TV on. He's watching like old reruns of games.
But the dog TV channel, like Lindsay said.
Yeah, but then I don't have like a doggy door. You know, so I leave the back door open. And then sometimes he's like, you know what? Yeah, the back door's open, but you're never here. So you know what? I'm just going to go pee on your carpet in your office.
Oh, no.
You know? Or like, hey, I'm going to take a giant wet dump, you know, on the carpet. On the really light-colored carpet.
Poor Jack.
So that you really have to get down on the ground and scrub.
Not like you.
Right, it was.
George, what do you think about prenups for pets?
I mean, listen, I get it. It's if you're gonna. I mean, there's prenups for a lot of things. Pets should be included. Yeah.
I never thought of that, but, you know, you guys do have... You have a good point.
Yeah.
So that's big deal or no deal.
All right, big deal or no deal, each and every day. I don't know, usually late in the show.
By the way, really quick, we just got like the event details for our event on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah,
the
draft Hennessy's, Hermosa,
dude,
yeah.
It's literally on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly
I've
where
I've never
it is.
Been there.
Yeah, it's on the pier, Hermosa Beach Pier.
Andrew Siciliano tweeted out a picture of like part of the Rams draft day experience. Mm-hmm. They literally built a football field on the beach.
That's no, so I, cool. I know exactly where it is.
So cool looking.
Yeah, it's right by where it's, you know, the AVP Volleyball, Hermosa Beach Open is right there too. So I know exactly where it is.
It's going to be a great time, and it's going to be just not only tomorrow, but Friday as well. So here's what I'll say. For anybody that can't get out tomorrow because of traffic and you're working and whatever, and we're on from 3 to 5:30, make your plan now on Friday to be there for the entire time, 4 to 7. Because really, tomorrow, you know, a lot of first-round stuff, everybody's going to be focused on the draft. Focused. But on Friday, it's going to be party time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Potty time, sucker.
And I would also say that chances are we'll probably be there beyond 7 p.m. on Friday because, I mean, what are we going to do? Like, get in a car and start fighting Friday traffic?
I mean, I live close by, bro.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
DeAndre, you don't either, and you ain't coming.
Yeah, I'll be right here looking in darkness.
You don't know nothing about no Hermosa.
I live pretty close to there, actually.
All right, well, then you can get out of there, too.
Yeah.
You'll be home in
but
2 minutes.
But you're coming downtown anyway, so...
Well, I'm going from Hermosa tomorrow
right,
to downtown for the Laker game.
Yeah, I'm going on Saturday, not tomorrow, though.
All right.
Cappy, real quick, we got one more segment to go, but I got to tell people about Children's Dental Fun Zone again, because here's the deal. Parents, look, we know taking the kids to the dentist can be a pain. You know what I mean? They don't want to go. And it, understandably so, because it's been scary in the past. No longer the case at Children's Dental Fun Zone, because fun is in the name. And you want what's best for your kids, right? Well, choosing this dentistry is the way to go at Children's Dental Fun Zone. Someone your kids can trust and enjoy going to the dentist with. So here's the deal. Let me tell you about my friends at Children's Dental Fun Zone. 17 locations across Southern California to choose from. All over LA County, Mid-City, the Valleys, they got you. OC, they got you covered there. IE, they got you covered there. So 17 locations across the Southland for Children's Dental Fun Zone, specializing in children's dentistry and orthodontics with state-of-the-art equipment and personal attention your kids deserve. And here's how they make it fun. At Children's Dental Fun Zone. When your kids are there and they're getting work done, they can watch movies, they've got iPads at the place, toys for the kids to play with, so tons of stuff so they feel relaxed, they're having fun while they're getting the work done. And again, you got to start early, man, all right? You've seen those commercials on the YouTube. First tooth, first brush, first visit. Get out there to Children's Dental Fun Zone. Don't wait. We got friends in the circle of trust who take their kids there. They're part of our family. You go join their family because they're family now. And speaking of family, for the parents, they accept Medi-Cal, PPO, and HMO insurance plans. To book your child's next appointment at Children's Dental Fun Zone, go to their website, cdfzone.com. That's cdfzone.com or call them at 800-717-KIDS. That's 800-717-KIDS.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's... Final segment of the program will be at Hennessy's tomorrow, Hermosa Beach Pier. Come hang out with us. It'll be Cappy, myself, Kirk Morrison. We'll be there 3 to 5:30 combo play tomorrow leading into Lakers game 3 against the Denver Nuggets and their series in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And then we'll be back there on Friday, our usual time, 4 to 7 at Hennessy's in Hermosa. Jack.
Oh, that was a good one.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. Great comment in today's Sedano and Cap YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Junior E, who says that Genie Bus, is going for the three-peat, meaning that Darvin Ham will come back next year and Denver will beat the Lakers for the third straight year. Okay. Boy, I sure hope not. Listen, no offense to Darvin Ham, but if they get beat, which, I mean, certainly at this point, it doesn't look good. And if they get swept, making it even worse, I can't understand why a team would say, hey, you know what? We really trust this guy. We really trust this coach, especially after the investment they've made in these players, in particular Anthony Davis and LeBron James, who are constantly publicly ratting him out.
Well, first off, they hired him.
Yeah, that's the problem. You tell him, Wendy.
Yeah. Well, that was when you asked if they were going to fire him midseason, though.
No, I asked him specifically, why are they so committed to him?
Right, at the time, when people thought there was reports that maybe he was on the hot seat.
Well, there are also reports now that they are still, as you mentioned earlier.
Well, yeah, Anthony Irwin has that, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Anthony Irwin, but I have not heard anything like that.
Well, I mean, you're not being disrespectful to Anthony Irwin. Anthony Irwin is a good Lakers, I would say, opinionist. He's not deeply embedded like Dave McMiniman is. You know, or Mike Trudell is, or even Jovan Buffa.
Buha!
Excuse me.
Buffa. That's
excuse
a new
me.
One.
Pardon me.
Hey, Sleeve's going to get mad at you, man. I keep butchering his name.
Well, leave Jovan alone, too.
How about
he's
Jovan?
Good.
Jovan's nice going to be mad at me. I mean, I just got to get it right, man. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
All right. Time for a little bit of a dealer's choice, George.
Yeah, Cappy, let it rip before I tell people about my home away from home before we go.
So I have a little bit of a problem here. For those of you that are watching on the YouTube channel, you know, you'll notice that my microphone is in front of my face, and it really covers up my chin.
Yeah.
Now, my chin, George, I've been going with this, like, very, what I'm hoping is kind of a subtle-ish kind of goatee going, right, recently here in the last few weeks.
Right, that's right.
And a lot of it's very gray.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing I have this little goatee right now, because I'm telling you that right now, on my face, in the middle of my chin, is a absolutely massive mountain, a volcano getting ready to erupt of a giant zit. I don't know what's going on here. It's like I'm going through puberty or something. This thing is gigantic. It hurts like a mofo. I've been sitting here playing with it all day long.
Don't touch it. It's going to get infected.
Yeah, dude, that's worse. Right. She's right.
It could be an ingrown hair, too. Just don't touch it. Take warm. Put a warm compress on it. And first, before you do that, clean it with alcohol or peroxide.
I don't know, man, but it hurts, and it's a good thing I got this cheesy little goatee. Otherwise, people would be walking up to me going, yo, you got like a third eye on your chin. What is that?
Warm compress, I'm telling you.
DeAndre, you're a young fella. You probably still have acne-related issues. I mean, what's going on here, buddy?
Nah, man, black don't crack.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, for real.
I understand. I guess white cracks, especially old white.
Sure does.
You know what I'm saying? Old white cracks.
It definitely does.
Well, thanks for the advice.
Yours cracks for sure.
For real, try the warm compress.
Warm compress?
Yes.
I wonder, lately I've been just killing it on the Peloton in the morning.
It could be sweat.
Yeah, I mean, also, when you have facial hair, you got to wash your face better, you know?
I don't know, man, but I've been just putting in some miles.
Right.
You know? And so I've been sweating.
Like sweat buildup on your facial hair, and it's causing your skin to be irritated, and it probably is.
It's probably all the above.
I'm worried because I got date night tonight.
I'm going to buy you a zit stickers. That's a new thing now.
Yeah, but I can't. Will it get underneath the little whiskers?
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
Because I got date night tonight, George.
Wow, good. Enjoy that with Rachel tonight.
Right.
And I got to tell you real quick about my home away from home before we go home. LAX at Los Angeles International Airport, changes arriving daily to reduce traffic, save travelers time, and transform the travel experience. The LAX economy parking structure is now open with thousands of smart parking spaces, as well as hundreds of EV charging stations. Modernized terminals have biometric gates for faster boarding. Who doesn't want to get to their flight faster? And a new facility will have all major rental car brands under one roof for your friends and family coming to visit you here in Southern California. And in the future, the People Mover train will connect travelers to the major rental car facility, to the terminals, and to LA Metro. That's right. You won't even need your car to get to LAX because there's that LA Metro station out there on Century, and the People Mover train will connect you from there. So at LAX, changes arriving daily to reduce traffic, save guests time, and transform the travel experience. For more information, go to flylax.com/transforminglax. That's flylax.com/transforminglax. Great job, Lindsay, DeAndre, Christopher, The Circle, Cappy. I'll see you Mañana in Hermosa. See ya.